Denodo Data Bytes. Hello everyone and welcome to the latest episode of the Denodo Data Bytes series. I'm your host Deha and today we have the pleasure of welcoming Kevin Bohun, who is the Director of Product Marketing for North America at Denodo. Kevin brings a wealth of expertise to the table with a track record of leadership in the product marketing realm and a knack for crafting and implementing comprehensive go-to-market strategies on a global scale. Welcome to the show, Kevin. We're thrilled to have you here for an exciting two-part episode this time. So I'm totally looking forward to our discussion today. But before we begin with the first part of the discussion on how data self-service is a critical component for any data-driven strategy, can you give our audience a quick introduction about your role at Denodo?
Sure. So my role at Denodo is I'm the Director of Product Marketing for the Denodo technology. I primarily look after the messaging and positioning around the technology, how to make sure that we clearly articulate the value to the customers of what the Denodo solution brings to the table. So that's my main area of focus.
Perfect. Thanks for sharing, Kevin. So jumping right into our conversation then today. So we certainly hear a lot about organizations becoming more data-driven nowadays, right? So being able to leverage data to drive more compelling customer experiences or improve their operational efficiency and more. So let's discuss by setting the context for the discussion today. What are the data challenges that organizations face today?
Well, it's interesting. Most organizations clearly articulate that becoming data-driven is a priority for them. But I was reading an article recently, and it talked about a survey that was done of hundreds of chief data officers, and less than 25% of them have said that they've actually created a data-driven organization. So you have to wonder if it's such a priority for so many organizations. Many organizations already have hired individuals that are focusing on it. Why are so few considering themselves successful or, you know, at least achieving what they're looking to achieve? And you could read countless articles on the topic, and a lot of them factor and look at a number of different things. And I often think that they're missing the main point. You know, what happens is they'll often talk about, you know, data literacy and employees not understanding how to use data effectively and things like that. But I think they're missing a key point here. And that is perhaps we're expecting more from the end users than is realistic with the tools that we're providing them. And what I mean by that is we give them tools that have been designed for data stewards and data engineers. And we're expecting them to now make use of it. And the reality is they end up not being able to use the tools effectively. So we end up relying on a central data team to provide the data assets that these users need to be able to effectively do their job. But by going to a central team and having so many different people making requests from them, these teams often become a bottleneck and people wait a while for the data. They don't have the information they need and all of that. I think if we really take a step back and evaluate what tools are we giving them, are they sufficient for achieving the goals that we've set, I think we'll realize that we're missing the mark a bit. And perhaps we should take a look at that and perhaps figure out how we make it easier for the users to be successful. Some of it, yes, is a cultural shift. Some of it is education. But I think in large part, a good part of it is we're giving them tools that aren't appropriate for the users that we're expecting to be able to leverage the data and leverage the data effectively.
Thanks, Kevin. So focusing on the last point you mentioned there, what do you mean when you say we need to reevaluate our approach to delivering and managing data?
Sure. So the challenge and the problem really is that data is distributed in a lot of different systems. So there are attempts to bring all the data into different systems, whether it's a data warehouse or a data lake. But the reality is for different organizational requirements, regulatory requirements, data is distributed. It's going to remain distributed. So there are attempts and good attempts to bring data into certain systems. But the challenge for the end user is where do they go and get the information? Because data is still spread over multiple different systems. Then the reality is if they find the data and they know where to get it, it's likely that they're probably going to have to combine that information with information from another system. And that starts becoming pretty complex. Traditional means of ETL is complex, and it's not something that the average user can do. And as I mentioned, that means there's an over-reliance on the data teams, and these data teams are stretched thin. So by reevaluating, what I'm saying is there's a different approach. You don't necessarily require bringing all of the information together in a single location before you can gain value from it. But what you could do is take a logical approach to integrating the data. And by taking a logical approach, what you're doing is establishing an abstraction layer atop the different data sources. This abstraction layer allows users to come to a single location to find the information they're looking for. And what happens is, in addition to creating this abstraction layer that hides the complexity of the underlying data infrastructure, what happens is you can build a semantic layer that allows you to present the data in a format that's appropriate for the consumers. So you can present the information to perhaps a technical person in a certain format, and when you're presenting it to somebody in sales and marketing in a different format, and it doesn't require the creation of additional data marts or copies of the information, but you do it at the time you're delivering the information to the user. So that creates a value in being able to deliver the data in the language of the consumers. Another value by creating this abstraction layer, this logical approach to integrating the data, is you don't necessarily require that replication, as I mentioned, and you eliminate the latency that's often involved with that. So now what you're able to do is you're able to deliver the data in real time to the business user. You're able to eliminate the complexities of it and eliminate the bottleneck of going through the centralized team. So users get access to the information more quickly in the format they can use. And that's really the goal of becoming data-driven.
That's very interesting. Thank you, Kevin. So I'm actually interested in knowing more about this logical approach. So what are some of the key capabilities needed if someone was looking to implement this logical abstraction layer to support data self-service?
Sure. So I think at a high level, I mean, of course, there's lots of different capabilities, but I think you could boil it down to three core capabilities. The first is around creating that logical data abstraction layer that I already talked about. This allows users to come to a central location to access the data and present that data in the language that is something that they're familiar with so they can make use of the data. I also talked about that delivering it in real time. So the logical abstraction layer is number one. Number two is providing a way for them to come and explore, find, access, and integrate the data in a secure environment. So it's creating a data catalog, but what you want to think about is the data catalog shouldn't just be the location where they're going to find out about the existence of the data, and now they have to go to, you know, where the data catalog references them to get access to the data. But by combining the data catalog with the data access layer, what you're able to do is provide that one source that they can go and find the information, but also access the information. Also, by combining the data catalog and the data access layer together, another benefit is, in addition to documenting what the policies are around the data, you can also enforce that because you now have a central location in which the users are coming to access the data from the catalog. And therefore, you can also make sure that they're complying with the different, you know, governance and security policies that you have in place. So the third piece, and it's related to what I was just speaking around, is really when you have those different capabilities in place, a single data access layer and a data catalog that people can come and access the information, you need enhanced security and compliance controls in place. So what's nice is by having this single data access point, you now have a single location that your compliance teams and security teams can come and configure what the policies are. So you have a consistent way of enforcing everything throughout organization. No longer do you have to apply the policies in this particular database or on this operating system, and you have a mismatch with inside of the policies. By having a central location, you can ensure that you're in, applying the policies consistently throughout the organization. And then you also have the ability to do advanced capabilities with inside of the system as well, leveraging attributes that you can define as part of that semantic layer we already spoke about. So now you can control things from attribute-based policies, not just role-based policies or user-based policies that are, you know, traditional format. So there's a number of different things to look for. But again, just from a high level, that logical data access layer, a data catalog that's combined or integrated with that access layer, and then having advanced security and compliance capabilities with inside of the platform.
Perfect. That sums it up really well. Thanks, Kevin. So moving forward with our discussion, one of the hottest topics these days is AI, right? So, and you touched upon it when you mentioned this approach, making it easier for data scientists to access the data that they need. So how else is artificial intelligence helping data democratization efforts?
Sure. So the obvious one, and the one that I think first comes to mind, is the one you've already mentioned, and I mentioned it briefly earlier, is this making it easier for the data scientists. I think most estimates is somewhere around between 60 and 70% of data scientists' time is spent on finding and preparing the data. Forrester did a study recently, and what they found is this logical approach to data management reduced data preparation times for data scientists by 67%. That's significant in a time when it's hard to find these skilled resources that know how to build out these, you know, machine learning models and to build these different models. Being able to save that time is invaluable. You can't just quickly go out and get these skilled individuals. They're hard to find, the good ones. So being able to allow them to be more productive in what you need them to be is training the models, fine-tuning the models, working with the business to make sure those models are delivering value is really a huge value, rather than having them spend time on, you know, preparing the data and things like that. But as far as data democratization goes, there's a lot more than just that, making it easy for them to get access to the data. First, and you know, a real hot topic these days is around generative AI and allowing users to come into the data catalog and ask questions using natural language, just like they would in an application like ChatGPT, and get the answers delivered to them. But what they're doing is they're able to ask those questions about corporate data. They're able to ask that about information that's only known by the corporation. They're getting back then answers to what they're looking for from an enterprise perspective is tremendously valuable. So that's a big area. But also there's other things that is tremendously valuable as well. So leveraging AI, what we're able to do is when somebody comes into the catalog, we can make a recommendation based on past queries that they performed or based on queries that people in similar roles have performed and make a recommendation to them of data sources that might be of interest. So they might not realize that there's information available about the performance of certain campaigns they already run if you're somebody in marketing. And by showing them what's available, now they can start exploring and perhaps finding interesting information that they weren't even available. So that recommendations is similar to how recommendations might be obtained, you know, if you're shopping on Amazon and they're recommending products. So that's of a huge benefit for people as well. Then the other thing is certain things that could be done to automate what would be traditional data management tasks that a data team would be involved in. So steps to improve the performance of the platform or making recommendations on how you might want to move information around within the environment to make the performance of the platform better and things like that. So it automates some of the tasks that might be required of that team that I've already mentioned is stretched thin. So AI is leveraged in a lot of different ways. And I think when it comes to the topic of democratizing data, this is going to be the most interesting area going forward. AI is going to have tremendous value in further driving down the complexity of accessing the data, making it easier for users to access the data they need, making it easier for users to get the answers to the questions that they have top of mind to make them more efficient in servicing the customer, making them more efficient in how they operate the business, all of the different things that you're looking for in your data democratization type project. So this is an area that I personally am very excited about. We're doing a lot of work at Denodo around it, but just in the industry alone, just seeing the advancements that are coming in this area around generative AI and large language modules and all that is really exciting. And I'm really interested to see what the future brings in making things easier for the end users.
Definitely sounds exciting. And I think Gen AI is the way to go ahead then for sure. So lastly, like, you know, to wrap up this conversation that we've been having, can you share some key trends that you're seeing nowadays when it comes to data self-service?
Sure. And I think we touched upon some of them around, you know, how AI is driving things or how people are thinking about this logical approach. And it is a trend, this whole logical approach. It's really, if you think about it, the backing of what people talk about when they talk around a data fabric and how to handle distributed data workloads, data mesh, and the concept around distributing the ownership of different data products is all really around this whole logical approach. But I think an area, and it's related to that last point I was just making, an area that's of particular interest in many organizations, a recent survey I saw, I think it was the second most popular answer when they ask what's your top priority in the coming year, and that's around data products. And data products are closely related to what I was just mentioning around data mesh. But data products, the whole concept here is you have people with inside of the lines of business that really understand the data and understand the data really well. And by having them be the people who create these data sets that other teams within the organization can leverage, what you have is the ideal situation because they know how the data is going to be used. They understand the nuances of the information a lot better than a centralized data team that has to know about the information across the entire organization. Having them create these reusable assets, these reusable data products that other teams can use is tremendously helpful. But when it comes to the topic that we were talking about today around self-service and data democratization, there's certain capabilities required, certain capabilities that are needed that enable these teams that aren't necessarily data experts per se on how to run an infrastructure around data or data management. They're experts in understanding the particular data they use with inside of their organization, whether they're part of the finance team and you're looking at different information from finance or you're part of the marketing team. They understand those aspects, but they don't understand data management and that. So how do you federate and allow them to leverage their expertise, but still have a centralized team that's going to deal with those different burdens? And that into itself is a topic that we could talk about on a podcast. But I think that that's really an area of interest to me and in many organizations based on some different survey results and that I've seen. So I think it's a trend that you're going to see growing significantly in the coming months or over the next couple of years.
Thank you so much, Kevin. This has been a great session and we can totally kind of record another episode, discuss about, you know, the various aspects of data self-service for data democratization for sure. But before we wrap up this episode, I have a quick Q&A round for you. So are you ready for it?
I am.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So very short rapid fire questions for you. So my first question is, what is your next travel destination?
Well, as you know, because you were there as well, I just got back from Spain and we were visiting Granada, but that was a work-related trip. From a personal perspective, in a few months, I'm actually going to be visiting the southern Utah, northern Arizona area, going to national parks that we have here in the United States, Bryce and Zion, really cool natural formations of rocks and that. And then in northern Arizona, going to go by Page, Arizona, which has Horseshoe Bend and some other really interesting, you know, different natural environments. For those that might not be familiar with them, it would be, you know, I guess really getting down in and into like the beauty of something like the Grand Canyon would present, but you're on the ground and in the canyons themselves and stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to that. And perhaps in a future podcast, I can give you the details of how it went.
That sounds very exciting. Yes, you definitely need to tell us how it went for our next episode, for sure. Thanks so much for sharing, Kevin. And my last question, what motivates you the most at work?
Sure. So like many, I'm sure an easy answer could be like, well, you know, the compensation, all that. But the reality is, I think that what really drives me is curiosity. I love what's happening today and all of the new technology that's coming out. things like what we were just talking around, generative AI, large language modules, all these types of things are tremendously interesting, because I'm really curious in one, where things are going with them, but also like just using ChatGPT when you hear of a particular topic and you could, now the speed that you could research something and have something summarized for you, that like even in my personal life, I hear, you know, a certain term, like, what does that mean? And what is this? And what's that? And you could do that in the past. And you know, the search engines were great at giving you answers, but you had to do a lot of digging and a lot of an extra reading. This and just the amount of things that I'm able to search and be curious about and get answers, I think it's incredibly cool. And it really interests me to be part of helping drive the industry to adopt these, to have better data sources, to be able to make these things more effective for people and all of that. So I would say that it really is the curiosity, and now these days the ease at which you could have answers answered for you and the things like that. So that would be what really motivates me.
Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing, Kevin. And this has been a great episode. And thank you for taking the time to talk to us about all things related to data self-service.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And I look forward to coming back and join you on a future episode.
Looking forward to it as well. And a quick message to our listeners, if you're interested in knowing more about our podcast series, please go to denodo.com/podcast to find out more on all things data.